Okay, today's daf is Ayin Bet. We're going to start at the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Bet. We're going to, at the Mishnah. Ben Sorer Moreh Nidon Al Shem Sofo. Okay, that we discussed yesterday, that he's judged, and a few days ago, he's judged based on what is going to come of him. Yamut Zakai Va'al Yamut Chayav. Better that he die Zakai, that he die before he has too many Averot on his hands. Va'al Yamut Chayav. This is a little different than what we said before, right? Al Shem Sofo, we're worried about the damage he's going to cause in the world, but now we're saying it's not just that, we're worried about him. We'd rather he die before he has too many Averot on him. Okay, it's for his well-being in the future. Shemitatan shel reshaim hana'a lahen v'hana'a le'olam. The death of tzaddikim is good for them because they stop doing bad things, and it's hana'a le'olam because they're not bothering other people. Here are both the elements discussed. V'la tzaddikim ra lahem v'ra le'olam. Bad for them, right? Their death is bad because they can't continue to do other good things and get more, you know, credit, so to speak, and bad for the world because they can't do good things for others. Yain v'sheina l'rishayim, okay, wine and sleep for rishayim is hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam. It's good for them and good for the world, again, because they're sleeping and they're not out there doing bad things. And the yain, I guess the point is they drink wine and that causes them to just sleep. Okay, even though often wine could also cause people to do bad things, but here they're viewing it like that. And letzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam, because they're not out learning Torah, they're not out doing good things, they're just sleeping their lives away. Pizur l'rishayim, this is when they separate from each other. Okay, so separating rishayim from other rishayim is hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam, is good for them and good for the world, because again, they won't be encouraged to do bad things, and then therefore it also will be good for other people. And letzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam, right? Because better to have people doing things together, they're able to do a lot more good than by themselves. Kinus l'rishayim, now this is the exact opposite, right? Gathering rishayim together is ra lahem v'ra la'olam, v'la tzadikim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam. Okay, sheket l'rishayim, quiet for rishayim, is ra lahem v'ra la'olam, and la tzadikim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam. Right, sheket for rishayim means that they have time to think about things and think about plotting evil things. So therefore, it's bad for them, bad for the world. But for tzaddikim, quiet is good. Okay, not everybody works better in quiet, but according to the Tana of this Mishnah, right, it's better to work in a quiet environment. It gives you time to think about things. Okay, Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. So now we're going to have another Braita that's very similar, but it's a little bit more in detail. But you'll see a lot of it is just repetitive. We'll go through it pretty quickly. V'chi mipnei she'achal zeh tartemar basar v'chashata chatzi lo yayin ha'italki amra Torah yetze le'beitin lisakel. Right? Just because he ate some meat and drank some wine, we're going to send him to the beitin to get skila. Ela higia Torah l'sof da'ato shoben sorer moeh. Right? The Torah kind of predicted what was going to be in the future. Sheso megamer nechse aviv. He's going to use up all the money of his father. Umevakesh limudo ve'eino motzei. And then he's going to try to find more money and he won't find. V'yotze leparashat drachim umelaskem et habriot. And he's going to go out on the roads and start robbing from other people. And therefore, amra Torah yamut zakai va'al yamut chayav. And therefore the Torah said, better he die now when he doesn't really have Averot on his hands than later when he'll already have a lot more. Shemitatan shel reshaim, and now we're just going to repeat, I'm just going to read it through. Mitatan shel reshaim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam, ula tzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. Sheina v'yayin l'reshaim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam, la tzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. Sheket l'reshaim ra lahem v'ra la'olam, ula tzadikim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam. Pizur l'rishayim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam, l'tzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. Notice which one is missing? The kinus. Because the kinus one really isn't necessary. Once you say pizur, you can assume the opposite for kinus. Right? It was strange in the Mishnah that it was actually mentioned. And notice in the Braita, first of all, the Braita has a bit of a different order, and also that one's missing. Okay, moving on to our next topic. Since, as classic Mishnayot, once you have, right, since they memorize them, once you have this concept of Nidon al Shem Sofo, we're now going to have other cases where you're Nidon al Shem Sofo, which are all very interesting cases. So the next one's going to be Hababa Machteret. Okay, the classic case of a Ganav. A guy comes into your house. Now, Hababa Machteret the assumption, machteret in Hebrew means basement, okay? Or hiding. Okay, so the general translation, what?
Underground.
But it comes from the word chatira, lachtor, which means to break in. So when we talk about a machteret here, we're not going to talk about it in terms of a basement. We're going to talk about it in terms of breaking in. Okay, if you somehow broke into your house, we're going to see the difference between, let's say, the door was left open and he came into your house, right? Where this is classic, people say, don't leave your door open because, and leave your don't leave your pocketbook near the door because someone might just open your door, take your pocketbook, and leave. That wouldn't be called breaking in. That would be called robbery, but it's not what we call hababa machteret. Hababa machteret is someone who breaks into your house forcibly, okay? He bends your soragim and smashes the window and comes in, or right, things like that. I see faces around, right? People are very familiar with these kind of methods. So, hababa machteret nidon al shem sofo. So now, what does it mean he's nidon al shem sofo? If somebody breaks into your house, okay, and there's different interpretations of how we're going to get to how we know this, like what the issue is, but we're going to assume, we're going to talk about this in the Gemara, that he's coming to kill. If he's coming to kill, that means that you're allowed to kill him in self-defense, which means that he's nidon al shem sofo. Because we don't really know that he's going to kill you, but we're going to judge him based on what he might potentially do in the future. And therefore, we're going to kill him. Or we're going to allow you to kill him. Okay, now, what's the big difference between this and the last Mishnah? In the last Mishnah, who is killing him?
The court.
The court. Who's killing him here?
The person is killing in self-defense.
Okay? So, could if you come and break into somebody's house, could the court convict you of murder? Could they bring you to trial and say, we're convicting you of murder? No, because you didn't murder anybody. So the nidon al shem sofo here is very different, because it's not nidon by the court. It's nidon by the person whose house you robbed, or we're going to see, maybe not even the person whose house you robbed, but anyone else who might see you going in, your next door neighbor could come and kill him. Okay, but you're killing, right? You're nidon al shem sofo. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because first of all, it's just obvious that we have to deal with the fact that nidon al shem sofo is different here than there, because nidon sounds like judgment, but here it's not a judgment, it's allowing the person to take the law into his own hands. Now, when we allow a person to take the law into his own hands, the question is going to be, this is two approaches, which is either he's allowed to do this, like we said, self-defense, some kind of reason like that, or he's actually acting on behalf of the court, meaning that he has legal rights. We can't convene a court here because we're in the middle of an action, right? There's no way to convene a court. But he's acting in place of the Beit Din. Okay, now we're going to see all sorts of references throughout the sugya that indicate one approach or the other. In other words, one approach is to say, this isn't a court thing, this is just self-defense, and he's protecting himself. But one approach is to say, no, there's actually, he's functioning as a court would function. Okay, so we're going to see it throughout. Maybe I'll understand it better as we go on. Okay, but the question is he allowed to kill as if he's the court? Now, if he's killing like the court, then what kind of things would we need?
Warnings.
Exactly. That's going to be one of the basic issues. Do you need to warn him or not? You might need witnesses. Okay? So, especially if you're going to have a warning, the warning will have to be in front of witnesses. Okay? Now, how likely is that to happen? So, anyway, this is something that's potentially underlying the sugya here. Haya baba machteret. Now, if he's nidon al shem sofo, something becomes interesting here, which is, again, assuming, now this would side on the side that we're ruling like the court, then at that moment that he breaks into your house, at that moment, he has a death penalty on his head, so to speak, because you can kill him. Now, if he has a death penalty on his head, if we view it like that, that really you're issuing the death penalty by killing him in self-defense, then we get into classic issues of kimle b'derabba mine, which is what? That when you have two punishments coming to a person, we're only going to give them the more severe one. So therefore, there's a very strange halacha that comes out of this. Haya baba machteret v'shiber et hachavit. He broke into somebody's house and he broke a vase of yours, let's say. Im yesh lo damim, chayav, im ein lo damim patur. Now we're going to explain that there's two different ways a ganav can come in. Yesh lo demim and ein lo demim. What is yesh lo demim and ein lo demim? This comes from the psukim there. Okay? I'll read, maybe we'll start with reading the psukim. That would be helpful. Im b'machteret et shmo kaf bet aleph and bet. Im b'machteret imatzeh ganav. If you find the ganav in your basement, or what means while he's breaking in, like we said, it's not really defined as basement, but having broken in, vihukava mate, and you kill him, right? And he gets killed. We'll see, we're going to darsh him vihuka. It's not vihikauto, but he was hit and he died. Ein lo damim. Ein lo damim means that the person who killed him is not responsible, okay? They don't get killed because you found him b'machteret, which means he broke in, which means he could have come to kill you, which means that you're not responsible, which means that we're allowed to kill him. Im zarcha ha-shemesh alav, which is not b'machteret, we'll have to see what exactly this means, damim lo, then there's blood for you, which means the guy wasn't a dead person, meaning he wasn't coming to kill, and you killed him, and therefore you're responsible. Shalem yishalem v'im ein lo ninkar b'knei vato. Okay, then he has to pay back for what he stole. Okay, now what are they going to say here? So go back to the Mishnah. Im yesh lo damim, basically he wasn't coming for murder, then chayav. Then he has to repay the broken chavi. But im ein lo damim, but if he was coming to kill and he was a dead man, then patur, because of the din of kimlay. So if he breaks something in your house, and you didn't kill him in your house. This is what's fascinating about it. Remember, kimlay is even if we don't administer the death penalty. So if you didn't kill him, and he walks out of your house, and you have a broken chavit, you can't go to court and claim he has to fix your chavit, right? Pay you back the damages. Because you could have killed him at that moment. He had a death penalty on his head, and therefore, he's patur. It's a crazy halacha. Okay, I'm a Rava. So now Rava starts out with my time at Demachter. What's the reason for this? Which we somewhat explained, but now we'll explain it more in detail. Chazaka, it's all based on a chazaka. What's a chazaka? It's an assumption about human behavior. Chazaka ein adam ma'amir atzmo al mamono. There's a chazaka that if someone comes to your house to take your money, you're not going to just let them take your money. Okay, there's an assumption you're going to fight back. Okay, people don't let someone else come take all their possessions. Now, this isn't exactly true, right? Nowadays, people say if a robber comes into your house, just let him take your stuff and leave so that he doesn't bother you, okay? But first of all, I think we have banks and we're a little bit more financially stable than they were in those days. Imagine if someone comes into your house and all your money's in your house and he takes everything you have, you're not going to just stand by and let him do that. So, ein adam ma'amid atzmo al mamono, and even nowadays, people do. There's always stories in the news about this kind of a case, by the way. I remember teaching this years ago, and like right then, there was some big story going on that brought to my class about it, that, you know, it happened, and someone was now in court for having killed the robber. Nowadays, people don't really side the way halacha sides. The high meimar amar, and the assumption is that the gazlan, the ganav, who's coming, says, Iazilna kailapai, if I go into his house, he'll come stand up to me. Velo shavikle, right? If I go and he stands up in front of me, he's not going to let me rob his house. Vi kailapai, and so therefore, if he's going to come up against me, katilna le, right? Then I'll kill him. And the Torah says, and therefore, since there's an assumption that the robber is going to kill you, therefore you can kill him back. I'm a Rav. Now we're going to sidetrack to this stuff about the Kelim, and then we're going to get back to the Baba Machteret. I'm a Rav. Hababa Machteret v'natal Kelim v'yatza patur ma'itayma b'damim kananhu. So this is crazy halacha now. The Mishnah said, if he breaks something in your house, you can't claim damages. But now comes Rav, and he says, if he broke into your house, stole your stuff, normally what would happen? He'd have to return your stuff. But Rav says that if he stole your stuff while he was Baba Machteret, in the way that he would have been Chayav Mavet, then Bidamim Kananu, he acquired them with his life. So those Kelim now belong to him, and he doesn't need to return them to you, which is crazy, right? It means the ganav who breaks into your house doesn't have to pay damages. So Amar Rava, Rava says, wait a minute, Mistabra milte de Rav b'shishiber de litnihu aval natalo. He says what Rav says only makes sense in the case where the kelim are no longer there. Let's say I rob your stuff I take it to my house and it breaks, or it falls on the way out and it breaks. So then it's no longer there. I don't have to return it to you because I've acquired it. But how could it possibly be that if they're actually in existence, they still have your name on it? I can't take ownership over your possessions. That's crazy. But Rava says, even though that makes the most sense, V'alohim amar Rava, filu natal, dehayesh lo damin, v'nein so chayav. Okay, so 1 minute. Let's just stop. So he says, but what can I do? Because the fact is, Rav said, even natal. In other words, I don't think Rav makes any sense, but this is what Rav says, afilu natal. And why does he say this? Dehayesh lo damim v'nein su chayav. If it's a case where yesh lo damim, which means that, remember, you have to always remember these terms. Yesh lo damim means you're not allowed to kill him. So if you're not allowed to kill him, and then ones happened, right? Something happened to the kelim, right? So he came in a way that he's not allowed to kill you. And then, you're not allowed to kill him because the assumption is he wasn't coming to kill. Then he takes your stuff. He takes them to his house. And then ones happens, right? And they break. He's chayav. So what do you see from there? Alma birishute kaime. As if he's chayav in onsim, this takes us back to Bava Metzia. What does it mean if he's chayav in onsim? If you're not chayav in onsim, it means that we still. What does it mean you're not chayav in onsim? It means I have your stuff, but it still has your name on it. If they broke, some crazy thing happens, a hurricane comes and attacks and takes the stuff and ruins it. So I'm not responsible because it was your stuff that happened to be in my reshut. Right, I took it from you, but it was yours. So the onus happened. It would have happened Mali in my house, Mali in your house. Could have happened anywhere. But the fact that you're chayav in onsim shows what? You're chayav in onsim in the case where, right, the robber is chayav in onsim in the case where I took it, let's say I'm the robber, I wasn't coming to kill, and therefore you couldn't kill me. I now take it to my house and some onus happens, I'm actually chayav. So what does that show? That they became mine, I acquired them, but I have a chiyuv hashava on it. Since I have a chiyuv hashava, I have to return them even if it's no longer in existence. So therefore, what would that show? That shows the birishute kaime, right? And if it's birishute, then Rava says to Rav, then Rav will say, birishute kaime, so hachanami, also in the case of Ein Lo Damim, who was high of the death penalty, and he took my kelim, even if the kelim are still in existence, he doesn't have to return them. Why? This is very interesting, because the chiyuv hashava becomes a monetary requirement to return. And again, once it's a chiyuv tashlumin, when there's a chiyuv death upon him, right, the death penalty is upon him when he's in your house, he no longer has to pay the chiyuv tashlumin. So this is how he explains Rav, that Rav views it that the kelim came into the possession of the ganav, which means once they become the ganav's kelim, yes, he has to return them, but only because there's a monetary claim and not because it has my name on it, right? And there's two reasons you'd have to return something. Either it's still mine, it might be in your possession, but it's still mine, okay? That is not the case here. If we viewed it that way, then it would still have to be returned. That's the way Rav viewed things. That it's still mine. You steal it from me just because you steal it, right? Doesn't mean it's yours. It means it's still mine. But Rav says, no. Once you steal it, it becomes your own, which means you have a chiyuv hashava midin tashlumin. And when you're high of the death penalty, and we have the din of kimle, so the chiyuv tashlumin is erased. And therefore, he won't even have to pay, even if natal. It's a crazy shita. Yeah.
So if he's killed for it, he has the things. Will his inheritors inherit? It's his, so his inheritors.
Yeah, it's the ganav, so his inheritors will inherit. Yeah. Okay, but again, he's not going to get killed. He doesn't even get the death penalty. That's what's crazy here. Only if you kill him when he's in your house. But if you don't kill him when he's in your house, then he lives on, and he doesn't have to return to you. So that's what Rav says, which is crazy. So Rava complains, though, and he says, Velohi, but that doesn't make any sense. Ki ukimna rachmana bereshute le'inyan onsim. He says, wait a minute. I'll start from the end of what he says. Let's take a shoel. A shoel borrows something from you. Now a shoel, if you remember, if I borrow something from you and ones happens, I'm responsible for own sin. That was because we said, kol hana'a shelo, right? I get all the benefits as a borrower. So if I borrow your item, I have to return it. Now, according to what we just said, Rav would say what? If you're chayv own sin, right? The way Rav was explaining Rav anyway. If you're chayv own sin, what does it mean? It means you acquired it. What do you mean? When I borrow something from you, I don't acquire it. It's not mine. It's just that I've assumed responsibility even for ones, but it doesn't mean that I've acquired it. So likewise, he says about Rav's the explanation he brought of Rav doesn't make any sense, because even though the ganav is chayv an onsim, it's not because he acquired it and it's his own. Okay? It's still considered the owner's item, in which case Rav thinks you'd have to return it. Okay, so I'll just read it again inside. When the Torah says you're responsible for ones, it's only that you're responsible for ones. But in terms of saying it's kanoi to you, it's acquired to you, no, it's not. Because bereshute demarayu kaima, it's still in the reshut of the original owner, just like midihave ashoel, just like a shoel. Tnan, let's use our Mishnah now to disprove Rav. Baba machteret v'shiberet hachavit yesh lo damim. Yesh lo damim chayav, ein lo damim patur. So now, what was the whole Mishnah, right? If you come and you break the kelim, in a case where you were chayav to be, where you could have potentially gotten killed by the owner of the house, or we'll see, maybe by other people too, and you broke a chavit, you'd be responsible. So now what do we say? You'd be patur. What do we say? Tama deshiber dechi ein lo damim patur. But ha natal lo. Okay, but they say, look at the words in the Mishnah. The words in the Mishnah are, if you broke a chavit, it didn't say, if you take a chavit, which is the classic case of a robber who's taking your stuff. So therefore, the fact that the Mishnah used the word shiber meant only shiber, but not to take. And that goes against Rav. So now how would Rav answer this? Hu adin de afilu natal nami. It could be shiber and natal. So why did they use the word shiber? What chidush did they want to teach you? Had katani shiber et hachavit, kamash malan de kiyesh lo damim, af agav de shiber nami chayav. They wanted to prove the other case, which is in the case where you can't kill him, when he comes into your house, if he breaks something, you can actually make him responsible for damages. Okay? As opposed to, obviously in that case, if he took your kelim, you'd be chayav. So therefore, use shiber to teach you that halacha and not this one, in which case you can say shiber and even natal. So then the Gemara says, what kind of a chidush is that? Pshita, maziku, what do you mean? Why would you need to come and teach if a robber comes into your house and he breaks your kli, he has to pay for it? Obviously, if he breaks your kli, anyone who comes to your house and breaks your kli, even if they're not a robber, would have to pay for damages. So now the answer is hakamashmalan dafilu shalobacha. So now they're going to say, wait, hakamashmalan, was it coming to teach you? There's a question. Dafilu shalobachavana, was it coming to teach you that even if accidentally on his way out he tripped over something and broke it, he's responsible anyway? But what do you mean, my kamashmalan? Why would you need him to teach us that? We learned at Baba Kama what adam uad laolam tanina. Remember that adam uad laolam bein b'shogein bein b'mezim bein b'onus bein b'ratzam. So therefore, it makes no sense to say that the Mishnah is mechadesh lanu, that if a robber comes into your house and accidentally breaks something, he's responsible. We already know that. So in the first Mishnah, that anyone is always responsible for their actions, even b'shogeg. So therefore, the Gemara ends with kashya. So they say, in fact, thankfully, right, because Rav's opinion was quite difficult, right? Rav's opinion is difficult because it doesn't really fit in with the words of the Mishnah, besides all the other difficulties we raised on. Mativ Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Okay, this is a question on Rav now. Hagonev, remember, Rava said that it's only b'shashiber, right? But natal, you'd have to return it. Hagonev kis b'shabbat, chayav, shareni tchayev b'gneva, kodem sheyavo lidei isur shabbat. Okay, somebody steals a wallet on Shabbat. So he's chayav to return the wallet. Why? Because he was nitchayev b'gneva first by taking it. And then, when was he mechayev b'isur shabbat? When he took it, Mirushut Yachid, Lirushut Harabim. Okay, so we learned about Kimle before, and here this is one of the major dapim which discuss it, which is that it has to be that they both happen at the same time. If they don't both happen at the same time, then you're not going to be responsible. Then the din of Kimle is not going to come into play. Kimle is only when both fall upon you at the exact same time. So now we say, Hayamagarer biyotse patur, But if you were dragging it on the floor, let's say it was on a string, the wallet, you never actually lifted it until, so then at what point, you know, how do you do a kinyan? So when you pick up the wallet, you do a kinyan on the wallet, and if you're konev for the purposes of geneva. Then when you walk outside, those are two different moments. But if you're dragging it on the floor, which means you never really acquire it at that point, until when? When you remove it, then you acquire it at what point? When you remove it from the rishut of the owner. Then the Isur Shabbat and the Isur Geneva would be at the same time. So if Hayam Agarer B'Yotzeh Chayav Sharenet Chayev B'Geneva, sorry, I read it wrong. I have a garev yosei patur, sharei isur geneva v'isur skila ba'in ke'echad. Okay, so according to this, what do you see? That that hababa machtere, but wait, according to this, why is this a question? One second. Right, because in this case, the keys, you wouldn't be responsible to return the wallet. Even though the wallet's in your hands and it's belonging to the other person. You follow? That would really support Rav's opinion. That even though this wallet belongs to that person and it's now in your reshut, you no longer have, in order to return it, there's chiyuv tashlumin upon you. And chiyuv tashlumin is canceled out by the Isur Shabbat in this case and the Isur, in our case, of the Baba Machteret. So then the answer, no. V'hilchata deshadinu benara. This is only if the keys was no longer in existence. In other words, they say, this source that talked about that you're patur from returning the wallet is if it fell in the river. Then you wouldn't be responsible for returning the monetary value. But if the keys is actually there in actuality, Rava would explain, to match his shita, that it must be, in that case, you wouldn't be responsible. Rava ignevile dichre b'machtarta. Okay, now Rava, this is a fascinating story. Rava himself, who says what? If they're there, right, you have to return them, right? Because they still belong to the original owner. So it happens, there were, I think, sheep or, I never remember which animal exactly they are.
Rams.
Rams, okay. There were rams stolen from him, b'machtarta, okay? They broke in and stole his rams. Ahadrinu niale, so they go to return it to him, velo kiblinhu, and he won't accept them. Why? Amar ho il v'nafak mipumei derav. He says, listen, I don't agree with Rav, but the fact that he said it, I'm going to go with that, and I'm not going to let you return these to me. Okay? Now, there's a whole big debate here, because forgetting about all this, right? So, first of all, interesting, he doesn't even hold by his own shita, and he says, you know, don't, you can't return them to me because of what Rav said. But if you remember when we learned this in Baba Kama, all the stuff, we learned that even though you're not responsible to return it, you still have, let's say, Yidei Shamayim. In other words, Midei Adam, you're patur, but Midei Shamayim, you still have a stolen item in your hand. You need to return it in order to do kapara. So it's strange that Rava wouldn't have allowed them to return it just so they'd be, let's say, Yidei Shamayim. So they could clear their conscience, you know, and have a, maybe he didn't want to let them clear their conscience. Maybe he was angry with them, and maybe that's why. It's a possibility. But anyway, it's a very good question why exactly he didn't allow that. Okay, now we're going to go back to darshaning the psukim. Tanu Rabbanan. So we're finished now with the whole kimle and the monetary payment. Now we're moving on to the basic din of machteret. Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to have two different brightot. They're going to contradict each other, and then we're going to resolve it. The psukim work like this. It says, Iba machteret imatzei aganav, right? V'ukav amet, ein lo damim, which means, right, if he breaks in, you're allowed to kill him. V'im zarcha Hashem ashalav, but if the sun shone upon him, which we'll translate that, we'll see how the Midrash translates it, damim lo, okay, then he, right, there's still blood streaming through him, meaning he's not a dead man, okay, and therefore you can't kill him. So now, but notice how the words work. Ein lo damim is the end of the first pasuk, and im zarcha Hashem ashalav is the beginning of the next pasuk. So the first drasha is going to connect the end of the first pasuk with the beginning of the second pasuk, which is really not the pshat at all. Eim lo damim im zarcha Hashem ashalav. So the Gemara says, v'chi Hashem ashalav bilvad zarcha. Did the sun, what does it mean, zarcha Hashem ashalav, the sun shone on him. What does that mean? Ela im barur lecha davar kashemesh, she'ein lo shalom imcha hargehu. In which case you allowed to kill him? If it's clear like the sun that he's coming to kill you. And if it's not clear to you as you know, as the sun is shining, then you're not allowed to kill him. Tanya Idach, the next Braita, darshins it otherwise, which is Im Zarcha Hashem Shalav Damim Lo, taking only the second pasuk, B'chi Hashem Shalav Bilvad Zarcha, Ela Im Baror Lecha Kashem Sheyesh Lo Shalom Imcha Al Tahargeyu. If it's clear that he's coming in peace, then you can't kill him. But if it's not clear to you, right, Bim Lav Hargeyu, then you're allowed to kill him. So Kashe Stama Stama. So these two seem to contradict each other. By the way, I just want to mention that this is one interpretation of what Imba Machteret versus, right, Im Zarcha Hashem Shalav means if it's clear to you, right, whether we say clear to you that he's coming to kill you or clear to you that he's not coming to kill you. But the other basic interpretation that's given in the Parshanut on the Torah is if he's daytime and nighttime, right, that if he's coming in the daytime, then he's obviously, he's assuming you're not in the house and therefore he's not coming to kill you. But if he's coming at nighttime, then the assumption is he knows you're in the house and therefore that's another basic interpretation. So now what's the Gemara going to answer? Very interesting answer. Lo kashya kam ba'av ala ben, kam b'ben ala av. When the father, okay, this connects with the ben sarer moreh, when the father comes to the son to rob from the son, then it's obvious he's, no father would ever want to kill his son. Unless it's clear that he's coming with the intent to kill you, you can't kill him. But a ben ala av, and presumably anybody else, okay, right, the assumption is that they don't have that kind of rachamim, right? It's like we're going to see the word inside soon, kerachem aval banim, which comes up in the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah, right? So at the end of the tekiot, right, of the each of the machiyot zechronon and shofarot, we say kerachem aval banim, right? Kerachem aval banim. So anyone else doesn't have that rachmanut, and therefore when they come b'machteret, we can assume that they're coming to kill. Amar Rav, very interesting line, kol da'ate alai b'machtarta katil nale, anybody who comes in to break into my house, I will kill him. Levar me Rav Hanina bar Shila. He says, it's not just Avala Ben, but Rav Hanina bar Shila, I know that he would never come to kill me. So the Gemara asks, my taima, what's the reason? If you say, because he's such a tzaddik, what's he doing breaking into your house? It's such a great question. Ela, mishum dekim le begavai demarachem elai kemarachem aval aben. Okay, he says, because I know his relationship with me. Even if he'd be a bad guy and he'd break into my house, I know he loves me so much, like a father loves a son, and I know he'd never kill me. Okay? So according to that, we're going to basically make this distinction. That if it's someone who has that kind of relationship, then you have to assume that he's not coming to kill you unless it's obvious to you. And if it's anybody else, though, the base assumption is if he's breaking into your house, which is where we started, really, right? Which is anyone who's breaking into your house, we can assume that they're coming with the intent to kill. Again, it depends what the details are. Do we mean only breaking into your house during the night when you're in your house as opposed to during the daytime? Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, more brighto the darshan these psuki. Damim lo, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. Okay, you're not allowed to kill him, whether it's chol or whether it's shabbat. Ein lo damim, you're allowed to kill him, in the case where you can't kill him, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat, even on shabbat. So now they're going to question this brighto a little. Bishlama ein lo damim, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. Itzdrich, sakzat achamina, midi dehava, aharugei beitin. De b'shabbat lo katlinan, Kamash Milan de Katlina. We understand why you would need a special drasha to teach us. Ein lo damim, you're allowed to kill him even on Shabbat, because you might have thought what? That because on Shabbat the Beit Din doesn't conduct the court and won't kill people, and this would obviously imply, like we said from the beginning, that you're functioning, when you kill this ganav, you're functioning like the Beit Din, so we might have thought that the criteria of the Beit Din would apply to you also. Therefore, it comes to teach us this braita that it's not the case, and you can in fact kill him. But Ella, to say damim lo, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat, you're not allowed to kill him whether it's chol, whether it's shabbat. What is that supposed to mean? Hashta b'chol lo katzlin on le b'shabbat mebaya. If you can't kill him on a yom chol, why would you even think that you could kill him on a shabbat? Right? One obvious answer would just be that they're creating a parallelism between ein lo damim, yesh lo damim, and they're just saying it even though they don't really need to say it. But here they're going to teach us an additional halacha, which is an interesting one. Amar of Sheshet, lo nitzricha ela lepakeach halav etagal. Okay, remember the halacha of lepakeach halav etagal? This is on Shabbat. If a building collapses, and someone's under the rubble and you're not sure if they're alive or not, you're allowed to take off the lechora muktza stuff, you're allowed to remove it in order to allow the person, right, to for pikuach nefesh. So let's say somebody robs your house and the house falls on top of him while he's robbing your house. If he wasn't coming to kill, then not only are you not allowed to kill him, but you have a chiyuv, and you're allowed to on Shabbat lefakech alav tagal, okay? And you probably, right, have a chiyuv to save him. We're going to get to that in very soon about also saving people that are you know, what our chiyuv is to save people. Tanu Rabbanan, vihuka. So notice the pasuk didn't say, right, vihika vameit ein lo damim, right? It says vihuka. The person is smitten. So what do we learn here? Bechol adam. It's not just that you're allowed to kill him, but anyone can kill him. Right? I was thinking of that case in Chalamish, right, where the neighbor went and shot the person. Right? I mean, there he was obviously coming to kill, but in this case, you know, even if it was a robber, your neighbor could come and kill him also. Because again, he's pursuing someone, right? We're going to get to this in a minute. He's a rodev, basically. We're going to view him as a rodev, and therefore anyone's allowed to kill the rodev who's pursuing somebody else. Vamet, b'chol mitasha ata yechol lahamito. Any way you want to kill him. So again, the Gemara is going to say, bishlama b'huka b'chol adam. Itzterich. You need to teach this halacha b'chol adam because you might have thought, salkada tachamini, you might have thought, balabayit hu dekimle. De'en adam amid. Right? In other words, the assumption is he's coming to kill the balabayit. Aval acher lo, you might have thought, therefore, only he's allowed to kill himself in self-defense, but nobody else can. Kamash malan, here comes the rodef. De rodefu, okay, this comes to teach you, he is a rodef, he's pursuing you. Vafilu acher nami, and therefore anyone is allowed to kill a rodef. Ela vameit, b'chomita shatay chola hamito lamali. Right? Why do you need a pasuk to tell you you're allowed to kill him in any way you want? Merotzech nafka. You can learn it from the din of rotzech. D'tanya, motu mata hamakeh, rotzechu, ein li ela b'mita ha'murabo. Uminayin shim yata yechol ha'mito b'mita ha'ktuvabo, sh'ata rashay la'hamito b'chol mita sh'ata yechol la'hamito, Talmud lamar, motu mat, mikol makom. So they basically say like this. First of all, this is again obvious that they're comparing this to mito beitin. That what they're saying is there's no specifically unique mitah, like you might have thought, because you're killing a mitah beitim. You can kill him any way you want. But now they're saying, why do you need a special drasha? We can learn it from the din of rotzeach, that a rotzeach, if the beitim can't kill him in the way they're supposed to kill him, okay? One of the interpretations I saw, maybe it's Rashi says it, I forget, but that what kind of example would be that the beitim can't kill him in a mitah, that... So one of the examples given was he put some magic upon him that a sayif can't get to him. Okay, something like that. Another one is he's me'ever lanahar and they can't reach him. Okay, he ran away, so they have to pursue him and they can shoot an arrow at him rather than try to kill him with a sword. So anyway, we already learned it from Rotzeach. And if we learn it from Rotzeach, we can assume this applies across the board. And therefore, what do we need this drasha for? So they say, Shane hatam damar kra mot yumat. So they say, no, there it's unique because it says mot yumat and therefore it's only by rotzeach. So the Gemara says, but what do you mean? V'nikmar mine. But then once we always learn that there's something that can call, it's called a binyan av. If it's said once in the Torah, so we can assume that from here we can learn to all other instances. So we should be able to learn from here. So now what's the reason you can't learn from things? Mishum dehavi rotzeach begoel adam shnei ketuvim habayim keechad. V'chol shnei ketuvim habayim keechad ein melamdim. But there's a separate thing which is whenever you have two things in the Torah, then already you can't do a binyan av. Again, there's a machloket. Is it two or three that already allows you now to learn? But we can assume that the author of this braita held two things already, emelam din. And what are the two things? The rotzeach and the goel adam. Who's the goel adam? This is if you kill b'shkaga, you kill accidentally. If you're supposed to go to the ir miklat. If you leave the ir miklat, then the relatives are allowed to kill you. And in any way they want to kill you. So here's where you learn it also. And there's an interesting halach here. I wanted to mention that even if you don't have, let's say there's no relatives to the dead person, the Beit Din appoints someone to be the Goel Hadam if you leave the Ir Miklat. It's a crazy halacha. They actually appoint someone. I think it's really just to make sure that you stay in that Ir Miklat, okay? So that you don't say, oh, well, there's no relatives of the dead person. I could just, you know, wander around freely. So they appoint someone to be the Goel Hadam. I don't know how you get the job to do that.
Hey, you can make it the gatekeeper of the town, and then you can get anybody who's leaving.
Right, you could make it the gatekeeper of the town. That would be smart. That would be the most effective. But okay. Tanu Havana, more brightot about the Machteret. Machteret, ein li ela Machteret. So it says in the Pasuk, Machteret, which means he broke in. But what if Gago, he climbs up on your roof, right? He doesn't have to break in to get to your roof. Chatzero, he goes into your yard, which also isn't locked, let's say. Vikarpifo, which is your front yard, or some area outside your house. Minayin, how do you know that, now the assumption is these three places are places where he might come across the balabayit. If it's some area in your house where nobody really hangs out, okay, there's no people there, let's say he goes into your barn or something like that, or I don't know, but he goes to a place in your house where people generally aren't, then you won't be chayav. But they want to say, these places, the balabayit is matsui to be there. So therefore, how do you know that here also from the pasuk, since the pasuk only says machteret, so how do you know gago chatzerov karpipo minayin? Tamud lamar yimatzei haganav. Again, like vihuka is in the other, right, the passive binyan. So here also yimatzei haganav mikol makom, wherever he might be found. Okay, in a place where the, again, the balabayit would be. Im kem matam lomar machteret. So why does it say machteret if that's the case? Mipnei sherov ganavim mitzuyim b'machteret. It gave the classic case, because that's generally most robbers break in. But yes, if you just walk through your front door that was open, then it would be the same thing. Tanya idach, a different bride to darshins it differently. Machtarto, eli ela machtarto. Gago chatzero v'karpifo minayin. Tamud lomar yimatzea ganav mikomakom. So far that's the same. Imke ma tamud lomar machteret. Why is it say machteret? Machtarto zoi hatra'ato. And here we get to warning, like someone mentioned in the beginning, that in this case, if somebody breaks in, he doesn't need a warning. But if he walks through your front door, or your gag, or right, or your karpaf, then you would need to warn him. Okay, so here you see that there's a din of warning. It's bypassed when he comes, when he breaks in. Why is that? Because it's totally obvious, right? What's the reason for hatra'ah? So again, hatra'ah is for the court, but hatra'ah is also to make sure that you know he's really intending to kill. Amar Rav Huna, katan harodef nitan latzilo b'nafsho. Rav Huna says, if you have a katan who's a rodef, okay, so a young child is pursuing somebody else, even another katan, the Rashi says, you're allowed to kill him. Why is that? Or not why is that, but what do we learn from Rav Huna? What can we infer? Kasava rodef eino tzarich hatra. Loshna gadol, loshna katan. A katan can't accept hatra'ah because a katan is not a bardat. So therefore, Rav Huna must go against this braita and hold that you don't need a hatra'ah. You don't need a warning. And that's why a katan doesn't even, right, is allowed to be killed if he's pursuing someone. Eitiver, again, whether he needs hatra'ah or not, might come under that distinction about, do we view this as you're functioning like the court, or do we view it, you're just acting in self-defense. So if the katan is going to kill you, well then, of course, protect yourself and kill him. But this has nothing to do with you functioning in place of the court. So like I said, there's sugiyot that go here and there. Okay, now we get to the famous abortion case. Okay, etive Rav Chista le Rav Huna. Yatza rosho ein nogimbo. Okay, this is a mission in Ohalot, which is basically a woman is giving birth, and she's got danger to her life, and the doctors assume that if we abort the fetus, then we can save her. So we're allowed to do that until yatza rosho. Once yatza rosho, then the fetus is considered a living being, and ein nogimbo lefisha ein dochim nefesh mipnei nefesh. Okay, we're not doche nefesh mipnei nefesh, and therefore we can't kill the baby to save the mother's health. Vamai rodefu. It's a crazy line, but why? The baby is pursuing the mother because the baby is causing the mother's health, right? Is endangering the mother's health. So the Gemara answers, right, so this is basically a question to Rav Huna, who said, a katana rodev nitam latzilo b'nafsho. So here's a katan, why can't we kill him? So they say, shane hatan di mishmaya karad fela. It's different because this is, okay, the Rambam actually explains this is the way of the world, that mothers end up in childbirth situations that are dangerous. Okay? It's not that God is deciding this is going to be the case, but more like that's the way of the world. And therefore, it's different from a katan who's got a gun ready to shoot somebody. Okay? That's a different situation. And therefore, we can't, in other words, what it's really saying is this Rodef is not doing anything intentionally. He's not trying to be Rodef. He's not, the fetus certainly isn't doing it on purpose. I wanted to bring up that the Yerushalmi has a much better answer, I think. The Yerushalmi says that it's not clear at that point who's the Rodef. Once Yatzaro show, so there's two human beings, and we don't know, is the mother endangering the, you know, maybe we can take care of the fetus and, you know, take the baby out and the baby will survive even though we'll lose the mother. Versus, you know, maybe, right, we don't know whose life is endangering whose, and therefore we can't be the ones to decide and kill one of them. So that's also a good answer. Okay. Name a Misayale. Now, why don't, maybe we can bring a proof for Rav Huna, who says, Katana Rodef Nitan Latzilo B'Nafsho. Rodef Shaya Rodef Achar Chaveiro Lehorgo V'Omer Lo, Re'esh Yisrael Hu Ben Britu. Right? You see someone about to kill someone, and you say, look, he's a Yisrael, he's a Ben Brit. But Tamar Amra, Shofech Dam Adam Adam, Damo Yishafech. And the Torah says, if you kill someone, you'll be killed. Amra Torah, Hatzil Damo Shal Zeh, B'Damo Shal Zeh. The Torah says you're allowed to kill that person even though what's missing here in the warning? He didn't say, if you remember, for a warning, the person has to say, Yodeh ani v'al minat ken ani yoseh. So even though he didn't say that, you're still allowed to kill him. So what do you see here? A Rodef doesn't need hatra, even though you did warn him, but he doesn't need a full hatra. So that would prove Rav Huna. But the Gemara rejects that and says, no, hahi Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda hi detanya. You could just very simply say that braita is only Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which is not the basic opinion, which is detanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda omer chaver ein sarich hatra'a lefi shelo nitzna hatra'a ela lavchim ben shogeg lemezid. And what he says is, someone who's a knowledgeable Torah scholar doesn't need hatra'a because the whole purpose of hatra'a is lavchim ben shogeg lemezid, and therefore a rodef falls into that same category. Right, someone who's pursuing doesn't need a hatra'ah. But that would only be Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where it wouldn't be the standard opinion. And therefore, we can't use this to prove Rav Huna, because it doesn't mean Chachamim wouldn't disagree. And as Chachamim would say, no, you need a hatra'ah anyway. Tashma, last source we're going to bring. Rodef Shaya Rodef Achar Chaveiro Lehorgo Amar Lo Re'esh Yisrael Ben Britu V'Tamar Amar Shofech Dam Adam Adam Damo Yishafech Im Amar Yodeh Ani Shukein Patur Amenat Ken Ani Oseh Chayav. Right? If he says, I know that's the case, then he's Patur. But Amenat Ken Ani Oseh, but if he totally accepts it, then Chayav. So what do you see here? That you do need Hatra'ah. This would go against Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, no, Lo Tzricha Dekai Betre Ivra Dinahare Delo Matze Atzule. My ika debayi tuya lebeidin. Oh, sorry, 1 minute. Let's stop for a minute. So what does he say? That's only in a case where you need to warn him, is in a case where you see someone pursuing someone, but he's on the other side of the Nahar and you can't kill him. So what do you want to do? You want to at least bring the guy to court. So you screen this hatra and he answers, and then chayav and patur also makes sense, right? Then he'll be chayav in the court or patur in the court, right? If he doesn't accept the warning, then he'll be patur. If he accepts the warning, then he'll be chayav. So then they say, so my ika debayi tu lebeidina, beidina bai hatra. Oh, sorry, no, that's the continuation, right? What else could you do then? You'll bring him to the court, and the court needs the warning, and that's what the warning's for, and therefore it doesn't teach you anything about rodef. Or ibait ema amar lecha Rav Huna ana de amre katana de machteret de amar machterto zoi hatrato. Going back to where we started, which is there's two versions about this machteret braita. Does it need, right? Do you need a warning? Do you not? So he says, I hold like the machterto zoi hatra'ato. The rodef doesn't need a warning because it's obvious that he's going to kill, and his machteret is his hatra'ah, and therefore a rodef is his hatra'ah, and he doesn't need a warning. Whereas there's another Tana who thinks otherwise, that he needs to be warned. So basically he says, that source doesn't go against it because that source is a different Tanaitic opinion. So basically what it breaks down to is there's a machloket Tana'im about whether or not you need to warn the rodef or the baba machteret. Okay, which is also a type of rodef. Does he need to be warned or not? And the assumption, right? Or do we assume that he already knows, right? It's obvious where he's going, and therefore he doesn't need warning. And this is obviously, you know, when we look at it with our modern eyes, it's very hard to assume that every ganav that comes into your house is coming to kill you, right? Even if we set up criteria, he comes at night, he comes, right? Most of them come, they try to take your stuff and they leave and they're not really interested in killing. But according to the Gemara, they viewed it as, you know, that he's coming to kill, and therefore the Torah allows you to do this. But like I said, in modern day law, this wouldn't really fly so well.
It's a big issue now in America that all this, you know, deciding what people prejudice and what people are
right. Exactly, right. It's a big issue, and we're right. I don't think we generally side on this side of things. That's the
correct. That's kind of
line. Great.